Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. So this is that time of year when we're looking for excuses to get out of the house. Anything to provide a reprieve from wintertime cabin fever, right? And sure enough, there are some terrific exhibits around the state. The Fort Wayne Museum of Art has its exhibition of photographs of the Wright brothers. And for the rest of this month, an exhibition of American style, as seen in the evolution of art from 1765 to 1900. The Richmond Art Museum has its annual holiday Art Mart, a juried miniature show, and through January 16th is holding its 117th annual exhibition of Richmond and area artists. In Muncie, the David Owsley Museum of Art at Ball State University opens its contemporary art exhibition 1 in 3 from the World Bank Art Program on January 21st. We stopped by the David Owsley Museum and met director Robert LaFrance.
This spring, we're doing something new and innovative here at the museum. We set up a system where in the fall we tend to do exhibitions that come from our collection and are of local regional interest. And in the spring we do collections that are, we do exhibitions that are of a world art and contemporary art kind of emphasis. And this spring we're doing 1 in 3 from the World Bank Art Program. And this is a partnership with the World Bank that we've started. We're one of the few universities to ever work with the World Bank. And it's going to feature about 20 emerging global artists from places as far away as Yemen and Iran to Chile and the United Kingdom. And the subject is really a rather frightening one, and the title comes from a chilling statistic, which is 1 in 3 women in the world suffer some form of gender-based violence throughout their lifetime. And each of these 20 artists has been selected because their work responds to that theme of gender-based violence. So it's a powerful show, incredible works of photography, painting, sculpture. It's a good mix, a little bit of video as well. And I think it's very socially engaged. And it's a global issue, which has a real local impact as well. So I hope people come in and see the show for the beauty of the art that's in it, but also to gain a certain awareness of this important issue.
Is this an example of art helping us understand issues in life?
Large social problems, social issues. Through this kind of awareness, we can kind of open our eyes to what's going on around us. And artists in art is very good at doing that.
How did the partnership with the World Bank come about?
That's a very old friendship that I've had with the curator of the World Bank. A wonderful person whose job is literally to fly around the world and to stimulate local artist economies, usually in third world countries. So it's a wonderful thing for us to do here, because in 2013, this museum expanded from being a collection of local and regional interest to a world art museum. And that mainly was through the help of David Owsley. Now, David Owsley is the grandson of Frank C. Ball, and this is Ball State University, named after the five Ball brothers. And David decided that he wanted to give back to the place that his family comes from. His mother was Lucy Ball. Lucina Ball was her actual name, but she preferred Lucy. And David has an interesting life. Although he's grown up through the Ball family, he spent time in Europe in his youth. He became a curator at an art museum at what was then called the Carnegie Institute in Pittsburgh. It's now called the Carnegie Museum of Art. And he worked for over a decade as a curator of decorative art. Again, the former name was ethnographic art, and also Asian art. So many of the gifts that he's giving us now, because he started a very large private collection during that period, he's giving us lots of gifts of Asian and African art, but also of contemporary art and of abstract expressionists. One day he may buy an African mask or a Chinese Buddha, and the next day he'll buy something by an abstract expressionist, de Kooning, or it could be nearly anyone. Something that catches his eye for quality. And that's the interesting thing about this collection. It's over 10,500 works of art here, which is the size of a lot of Big Ten university museums. And Ball State is actually Mid-America Conference. So this is a big museum in a smaller university. And in fact, I like to call it the biggest small museum in the country, because the scope here is everything from the ancient Mediterranean world up through contemporary Chinese art, which is quite nice to have in this part of the country. Midway between Indianapolis, which has a major museum, and Fort Wayne, which also has a museum. But nothing quite like this is in that vast expanse of space in northern Indiana.
And there are things in this collection that you would not see elsewhere in the state.
You might find something similar at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, or maybe in Bloomington, but that's also a museum of a very different character. Bloomington, they have a wonderful modernist building by I.M. Pei. Well, we have a lovely Beaux-Arts style building by Schreiber, the same architect of the Scottish Rite Temple in Indianapolis. And even the SNITE at Notre Dame University is a lovely building, but it's a modernist building. And their collection is much more focused in painting and sculpture and things like that. They don't have as deep a collection of, for instance, art of the Pacific Islands as we do. So this is a wonderful museum to come and visit, and within a few hours, you can get a feeling for an entire world of art. In fact, I like to call this Muncie's gateway to the world of art.
And the collection is still growing.
It's growing every day. David just purchased some Chinese Ming vases yesterday. So we are growing, we're buying, and we hope to expand again in the future.
This is more than a collection of things. There's learning that takes place here.
We're a university museum. This is a wonderful place for a student at Ball State, which is an economically priced university for students. They can come here and get a world art experience. They can see things, one, Africa, Asia, South America. It's all here. So I enjoy working at a university museum where you can bring in the students and you see their minds and vistas really open up.
Robert LaFrance, director of the David Owsley Museum of Art at Ball State University. The museum on January 21st opens its contemporary art exhibition, 1 in 3, from the World Bank Art Program. Coming up, what the Richmond Art Museum has to offer and the continuing work being done by Indiana artists across the state.
Some people got to paint and draw. Harry had to work in sandstone. Like the waves coming to the shore.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We often talk on the show about interesting places to check out, but I don't think we've talked enough about the state's art museums. Places like the Snite Museum at the University of Notre Dame, the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, the Eitelgeorg in Indianapolis, and of course, the Indianapolis Museum of Art. We're talking today with Director Robert LaFrance at the David Owsley Museum of Art at Ball State. And as another reminder of what can be found in Indiana's smaller cities, we also visited the Richmond Museum of Art and talked with Director Sean Dingworth. He reminds us of the state's tradition of art colonies in Brown County and Richmond.
Of course, traditionally, the Indianists did quite well. Several of them were able to make a living and support their family. Here in Richmond, John Elwood Bundy actually quit teaching in order to take up painting full time and was able to sustain a livelihood. Today it's a little tougher to do that, but we do see artists in Indiana that are able to provide sustainability with the sale of their works. We see that the Indiana Plein Air Painters Association has grown. And you see a lot of artists, in particular the baby boomers, who are interested in painting and creating artwork. Plein air is a French word, which really essentially just means painting outdoors. And that was a tradition that started in the 1860s. And that's what T.C. Steele did, the Hoosier Group, the Richmond Group. They would go outdoors in their environment and they would paint what they saw. Sometimes they would complete the entire painting outdoors. Other times they would maybe start the painting and then finish it in the studio. And that is a tradition that has continued with some current artists today. And that organization is the Indiana Plein Air Painters Association.
Sure. Is Indiana recognized, or Indiana artists or craftspeople recognized outside the state?
Yeah, actually, you know, the Indiana Plein Air Painters Association is one of the largest plein air associations in the country. And Indiana is recognized for the quality of work of these artisans and the art that they create. I know there's been state exchanges with other states where Indiana artists have gone out west to paint. And so certainly on the national level in terms of plein air painters, they do recognize the significance of not only Indiana's rich heritage, but of what's currently happening today.
Can you, as we're looking around here, talk about the Richmond Art Museum and what you've tried to do here?
Well, the Richmond Art Museum is most noted for the fact that we are the only public art museum in the United States housed within an active public high school. And that has been the tradition for over 117 years. Our community believed in having arts and culture available to the students. This is also the birthplace of the first high school orchestra in America. So it was through some of our local patrons that it came to be that the museum was permanently housed in the Richmond Community School Center. And so today we offer over 280 programs. We offer year-round art classes. We have started the New Richmond Group, in which area artists can come to the museum to paint, to learn from each other, to mentor, to critique works. We have a collection of Indiana art as well as American Impressionism. It's a real treasure in our state.
There's so much awareness of digital media today and, you know, virtual environments.
Yeah.
Is life for artists today different than it was in T.C. Steele's time?
Sure. I mean, I think the digital age has offered artists more tools. Certainly with social media, there are certain apps in which they can work and hone their skills on drawing. But in terms of the replacement of seeing artwork in person, it hasn't reached that level. You know, much like going to see a movie in the movie theater, when you go to galleries or you go to an artist studio or you come to museums like the Richmond Art Museum, there's just real value in seeing the work up close and in person.
Richmond has some qualities that make it different than many other cities its size. There are more offerings here than one might expect for
sure.
A city of this size.
Yeah, we have, within our county in Richmond, we have 17 cultural organizations. And a lot of that sprung up from our history. The fact that we were located along the National Road brought thousands of people through our community. This was a rich industrial area. Many of our artisans were employed by the businesses in our community. You know, to be profitable in that area, they needed skilled tradespeople, and the artists provided that. So there's always been a value on artisans in this community, whether it be the performing arts or the visual arts. And so many of those foundations that were laid early on, these organizations still exist today. And we are seeing them thrive again.
The world has changed so much for young people and the kinds of things that they can do.
Yeah.
Is there another generation of Hoosier artists coming up?
Yeah, there definitely is a younger generation of Hoosier artists that we've seen. There are some that are active within the Indiana Plein Air Painters Association. One of the benefits of that is that anyone can be a part of that organization regardless of their skill level. But I think we're seeing sort of this return to where people want to get back to using their hands and developing skills. We've seen an increase in art classes, and I know in Brown County they're offering more art classes. People want to learn to create. They're spending less time behind their computers and on their digital devices. Even though they're still spending a huge amount of time, they're spending less amount of time. And so I think they're looking to do things other than just, you know, be on their computers or their phones.
Sean Dingworth, director of the Richmond Art Museum. A good stop to make when you're sampling Indiana's artistic offerings. The museum has four galleries. It's located in Richmond High School, which is a WPA building made with Indiana limestone and terrazzo marble. It was built in the late 1930s, and they actually had the dedication on December 7th, 1941. In fact, from the stage that day, the organizers made an announcement. The U.S. base at Pearl Harbor had just been attacked.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
In a show about some of Indiana's art museums, great places to go when you want to get away for something different, we've been talking with director Robert LaFrance at the David Owsley Museum of Art at Ball State.
Can you talk about a couple of things that people should not miss if they come here?
Well, for example, behind me there's a wonderful statue of the Buddha. It's the 17th century, made in Japan. It's an Amida Buddha. Beautiful, large-scale bronze. And in fact, there is a tradition here that students place a penny in front of the Buddha as an offering, and it brings them good luck. So every time we clean up the large pile of pennies in front of the Buddha, another one immediately grows back. So we have works like that that have this local following, but perhaps we could gain a national following as well. There's a wonderful African collection, and there's a good collection of Indiana artists as well. The core of the collection started with the Ball family's paintings, really. And they had a lot of wonderful American Impressionist pictures. But one of the real favorites here is a painting by John Otis Adams, who was related to the Ball family. And in fact, David Owsley calls him his Uncle Jack. And J. Otis Adams painted a wonderful picture called Poppyland. And that's upstairs in the gallery. So I suggest that people come and see in Poppyland this summer.
How about some advice for people about how to appreciate a museum? You don't want to rush, you want to take your time.
Well, in terms of preparation, the easiest thing to do is go to our website. And there's a quick way to get there. It's bsu.edu/art museum, one word, bsu.edu/art museum. You can get the basic information about parking, where we're located, what our opening hours are, all that's right there. That's all the preparation you need, really. Then come into the museum and look around. And do this with every museum in Indiana when you're visiting. Does the architecture detract from the works of art, or does it enhance them? Do the furnishings inside the galleries, the pedestals, the glass cases, etc., do they stand in the way? Are they blocking your view of the work of art? Or do they fall back and allow the work of art to stand forward and really to speak to people? And that's the other thing. Is look at a work of art and think, what is the message that this artist is trying to convey? What are they trying to express through this work? And that can be done with works of art, ancient Chinese through modern and contemporary art. What are they trying to say?
There are some stories behind these pieces. Do you ever walk through here and think about the people who made them and what they were thinking about and that world that they were in?
Well, I think about that, but I also think about the stories of today. I mean, one work of art here, I was working at another museum a couple years ago, and I wanted to purchase it at auction. There's a wonderful painting, it's by a fellow named Pater, a Frenchman, a follower of Watteau. And I had wanted to purchase this work, but I failed in buying it for the museum I was at. And I happened to be visiting David Owsley, interviewing for this position, and I saw he had the auction catalog on his table. So I told him this story about the wonderful Pater and how I tried to purchase it and failed. And he looked at me and he said, I bought that last week. I'm sending it to the museum. So that's how I knew I was in the right place. So these works, for me, they have very living stories as well as their ancient stories.
Are the audiences for museums today different than before? Are you trying to reach out to younger people?
Yeah. Because we have a large student body here, we do a lot of things that are aimed at students. We actually encourage photography in the galleries. No flash, of course, for lots of reasons. One is flash can damage delicate paints, but also it really annoys people when they're getting flashes in their eyes. But otherwise, if you want to take photos with your smartphone, please do. If you want to post that online, we ask you to do that. If you'd like to take a selfie, as long as you don't do anything dangerous that's going to harm yourself or work of art, please take selfies. You need to be aware of this kind of phenomenon that people like to be more involved, and that's fine. And in fact, we've been sponsoring things like Pecha Kucha Nights at the museum. We have a wonderful recital hall that I'm certain you know, that was built in the 1930s in the Renaissance style. It's gorgeous, and we do Pecha Kucha Nights in there. We have lots of different kinds of events for students.
Meditation at the museum.
Meditation at the museum in front of the Buddha. That's quite nice. We do lots of different events, family days, community days. We're open, we're a museum that covers two major constituencies, the students, of course, and then also the entire community and city of Muncie. And it's important to remember that, that we have these two, both equally important groups that come to visit us, and we try and make sure that our programs fit in with both.
People are experiencing so much of their life online. Have museums responded to that? Do you have a plan for that?
Museums are responding to that, and so are we. We'll be putting a system in place fairly soon, which will allow you to search for any work of art in the collection. But in the end, nothing replaces the experience of the real. Come and see this building. I joke, but I think it's true, that say that this is the most beautiful building in Muncie. And it may be one of the most beautiful buildings in East Central Indiana, but I'm sure some people will argue with me. But it's a gorgeous structure, and it's impossible to convey that experience of going through such a beautiful space in a virtual world. Virtual worlds are a little different. But we are working on that, and it's a lot of students that'll be doing that kind of work, creating the virtual environment so we have a much more responsive website to our student body.
Do you ever find yourself wandering the galleries to relax, to see pieces that are your favorites?
Absolutely. At least I try to make time every day so that I go in the galleries and look. It's also important just to understand what the visitor experience will be like. And we try to keep the galleries also looking perfect. No smudges on the walls or problems with the labels. We fix them as quickly as we can, and we keep everything looking top notch.
Robert LaFrance, director of the David Owsley Museum of Art at Ball State. Our show today on the theme of, along with all the other places we visit for Indiana Weekend, a reminder about some of the art museums across the state. Sometimes we're looking for something to do, some excuse to get out of the house in these dark winter months. Don't forget the David Owsley Museum and the other places, the Richmond Art Museum and those in Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indianapolis, Bloomington. Any place you've thought of visiting, chances are there's an opportunity nearby to see pieces from around the world and around the state. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.